Pioneer 90.1 FM online, RadioNorthland.org. Time for our weekly update from the Museum of Art, based at UND, the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks, as they serve Northwest Minnesota and all of North Dakota. Now, normally we talk with the Deputy Director of the Museum, Matt Wallace. Today, though, we have a special guest, not saying Matt's not special, but we have a special guest we're talking with from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. His name is Stuart Clipper. Hello, Stuart. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine.
Wonderful. Now, it was suggested by Matt I talk to you. Okay. Can you tell me why?
because the answer is 42. Now, I currently have a body of my work on display at the Museum of Art, which is now going to be part of its permanent collection.
Well, how about that? That's wonderful. Now, before we get to those details at what's on display there at the museum, if we can, I call this my table setter, a little background on you, where you were raised and all that good stuff, your first interest in art.
I grew up in the Bronx, New York, which I've stressed for years and years, like the rest of you, is I grew up on the mainland of North America, not some offshore island like in Brooklyn or Manhattan.
So, okay.
And I had a lot of hobbies as a kid in an era. Well, some kids, I work with a lot of kids. There are still hobbies out there. And one of them was photography, and it stuck. And I just kept doing it and making more sense of myself and the world through, you know, identifying myself as a photographer, and then other people started identifying me as an artist in photography. And
Okay. Basically,
that's what happens.
Okay. Now, this is something, again, I've talked to many people over many years about their work in lots of different aspects of life. As a photographer, were you formally trained in that work?
I went to the University of Michigan. I got a BA in psychology, which I've mostly applied into training my kitty cats to do tricks. I took a course my senior year, an elective in photography, and I learned more about positive reinforcement in that class because I was lauded for what I seemed to be able to do with my view of the world applied to a camera. And I stayed around Ann Arbor for two more years taking some photo courses. And then pretty much, you know, autodidactism took over. Like most of my colleagues from my age cohort, pretty much learned, you know, learning by doing, I guess.
Yeah, trial and error. Did you emulate anybody? Was there someone in that world of photography that you really enjoyed and wanted to maybe fashion your work after?
There's a whole phalanx of people who I guess I imprinted early on. Some of them were more strictly formalists on the surface. Kind of, I didn't make, that's kind of a pun. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
But I guess people like Walker Evans, but I did look a lot towards Weston and Adams. I mean, these, you know, if there was a Mount Rushmore for photographers, I guess as a younger photographer, some of the people I most admired would be carved up there.
Okay.
I guess Walker Evans and Eugene Atget, a French photographer early in the last century.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in photography, do you prefer black and white or color or both?
I have worked in color since the early 70s when people were still debating if art photography, for want of a better term, could use color photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said there's no argument there for me. It's just another way of bringing the world into a rectangular frame, I guess. But I started out with black and white. I still have a black and white darkroom. Much of my work involves sort of a complementarity between things I shoot in the same place in different formats, and sometimes it involves counterpointing color work with black and white. So, but I guess I'm most identified by the color work that's got out into the world more than the black and white.
Right. You mentioned the 1970s, which dates both you and me, because I remember those years very clearly. When you look at the equipment you use compared to then to now, it's changed dramatically, really, hasn't it, as far as your cameras go?
Oh, yes, yeah. But, you know, I shoot film, I don't know, about a dozen years ago. Someone gave me a little, as a birthday present, a little digital camera. And I said, what am I going to do with this? And, you know, how many thousands of digital pictures have I put up on Facebook and sent as email? So it's a tool. But the cameras I work with would be very difficult in terms of the way I work and the way I think to translate to what's capable with digital photography, which I stand in awe of what small chips can do in terms of translating, you know, something that comes through a lens into an image. But, you know, I stick with film for the most part, and so many of my colleagues. Film is not antediluvian yet, far from it.
My guest again is Stuart Klipping from the Twin Cities, and he has an exhibition of his work at the North Dakota Museum of Art at UND, serving Northwest Minnesota and all of North Dakota. Next question concerns motivation, your passion. When you work in photography, do you do that to present what's happening as you come upon it, or do you have a method to your madness? Do you try to maybe persuade those who see your work?
I would say that I give myself missions, and for very deep underlying reasons about how I want to see the world in terms of, you know, poetic transformations. I've read a lot of science, and that sort of drives me, how do I want to put things together? I've spent a lot of time in polar regions, you know, Antarctica and the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's something about getting up to part of the world, seeing things that few people or no people have ever seen before. But I just early on had a sense of where you can go to see things more clearly. But on the other hand, I did a whole body of work on the Western Front in the cemeteries of the Great War, the First World War, because I wanted to deal with the singular event that gave me the historical era I was living my life in. I've been to the rainforest to see, you know, where the most concentration of life was. My work is a lot about place. So
right.
The most profound way humans have dealt with place is turning them sacred. So I've gone to holy lands of different cultures, including the biblical holy lands of the Middle East. Once I get there, I mean, the basic premise of what people like me do, you know, sums up, you go out into the world, you look around and see what's there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're capturing that reality in a second or two and saving that. Now, the exhibition at UND in Grand Forks is called The World in a Few States. It consists of 51 photos, one from each state, plus Washington, D.C. How long did it take to do that, Stuart?
Well, this is an ongoing, ever-expanding agglomeration. I had a commission from a Minneapolis-based bank that had branches in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted, the art consultant liked the way I made my sense of these regions. So that, you know, just unleashed me to do it. But the few states part was a non-sexual double entendre, because I was reading a lot of science and you know, related philosophy, that what happened visually in the frame, the dynamics, sort of had a vocabulary about how we structure and know the world.
So, right.
But I've been adopted by cultural geographers because they tell me I stopped to look at all the right things. And I've been doing this ever since, and I've been in every state. And this particular group stems from a show in a New York gallery that I kept together, then an organization that circulated shows put it together and then sent me back in three amazing crates that could turn into small fish houses, 51 frame prints. And I had no place for them, and I started fishing around for someone to take them, and there you go. Laura LaRuta said she'll take them, and then these friends I know who like to support arts, he's an artist himself, they took it on themselves to work a deal out, and so they gave us the gift. So it's those 51 frame prints, one from each state, are going to live in Grand Forks.
And they'll be there on a permanent basis, too, according to Stuart.
They're part of the collection now.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, there's an artist reception for Stuart coming up this weekend. That's on Sunday, which is August 22nd, this Sunday from 2 until 4 p.m. at the Museum of Art at UND in Grand Forks. And it's a wonderful thing that this facility exists here, Stuart, in the far north, because it serves a large area, and it allows folks to see things beyond the Red River Valley, which is very important.
When I first got there, I said, where's the valley? a friend of mine from where he says he's my friend Wayne Goodmanson from Margot's Forehead, as he called it.
Yes.
He says it's the flattest place on earth because the incline, the slight incline of the valley is offset by the curvature of the planet.
Sure.
So mathematically, it's flatter than any other place. So, yeah, when I got up there, where's the valley?
Yeah.
Okay, I told you I can digress. Sorry.
No, that's all right. That's wonderful. So, again, if you have some time this weekend, and we encourage you to stop on by the museum and take a look at Stuart's work. It's called The World in a Few States, consisting of 51 photos, one from each of our states, plus Washington, D.C. And again, the reception for Stuart will be this coming Sunday, August 22nd, from 2 until 4 p.m. If you'd like more information about that, you can contact Matt Wallace at the museum. His phone number is 701-777-4195, 777-4195. And, of course, for more information about exhibits, activities, events, and all those good things, check out their website, ndmoa.com. Well, Stuart, it's been a real joy and pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for taking time. We appreciate that.